Open your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. Our text is found in verses 1 to 21. Revelation 16, beginning with verse 1, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because Thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and Thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great." Father, we thank you for your word, and pray that you would use this portion tonight to minister to our hearts and to instruct us in your ways and to prepare us for all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Spoiling Satan's kingdom. In the October Reader's Digest, there was an advertisement giving a what they call the Great Invocation. And this is a prayer that supposedly belongs to all humanity. And the request is, will you join the millions who daily use this prayer to invoke peace on earth? Become a co-worker in God's plan, for only through humanity can the plan work out. And we have on the page here a very confused prayer, but yet that has a very specific purpose. And the purpose of it is seen in another advertisement, one that was placed in the New York Times. And this advertisement says, "The world has had enough of hunger, of injustice, of war. In answer to our call for help as world teacher for all humanity, the Christ is now here. How will we recognize him? Look for a modern man concerned with modern problems, political, economic, and social. Since July 1977, the Christ has been emerging as a spokesman for a group or community in a well-known modern country. He is not a religious leader, but an educator in the broadest sense of the word, pointing the way out of our present crisis. We will recognize him by his extraordinary spiritual potency, the universality of his viewpoint, and his love for all humanity. He comes not to judge, but to aid and inspire. When will we see him? He has not as yet declared his true status, and his location is known to only a very few disciples. One of these has announced that soon the Christ will acknowledge his identity, and within the next 2 months will speak to humanity through a worldwide television and radio broadcast. His message will be heard inwardly, telepathically, by all people in their own language. From that time, with his help, we will build a new world." Now, don't get excited. The devil's a liar. And we know from the first epistle of John, John says there are already many antichrists. Nevertheless, we do know, according to Scripture, that ultimately God is going to allow something like this to happen. You remember the devil said to the Lord Jesus, as he took him up on a high mountain, he showed him all of the kingdoms of the world, and he said, "All of these will I give unto thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Now the devil knew that he had a valid offer, and the devil has continued to make that offer. And up to this time, the devil has been giving out his kingdom piecemeal. But one day he's going to get the whole thing together. He said piecemeal kingdoms, and that's why up until now in the book of Revelation, there has been piecemeal destruction. And you remember back in chapter 6 and verse 8 of Revelation, the destruction there covered the fourth part of the earth. 25%. Then we find under the trumpets in chapter 8 and verse 7 and from there on, we find that the destruction covered the third part of the trees and so forth. Greater destruction, 33 1/3%. But here in chapter 16, where we have the pouring out of the vials or the bowls of the judgment of God against the Antichrist as the trinity of evil, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, with world dominion, with all of the inhabitants numbered, one world rule, and all those who did not have the number of the beast upon them were deprived of the means of life. Here we have the greatest concentration of Satan's power into a worldwide kingdom. We find we also have the greatest and most complete destruction from the hand of God And here the destruction is not one-fourth nor one-third, but total. And we have here in this chapter the pouring out of the seven bowls or vials of the wrath of God. The first vial is that of a putrefying and painful sore. Our scripture here says that the vial was poured out and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast. The word noisome there is not noisysome. It doesn't refer to noise. The word noisome here is a word that actually is an abbreviation of annoying some. And so this grievous sore is a very annoying sore. And a further look at the word indicates that there is the idea of offensive and foul smelling. The Greek word really just means bad. And so we have here a bad, and the word grievous is evil. So a bad and evil sore, malignant, incurable as evil is, and refers to the evil one who is incurably evil. And this sore is of that nature, a grievous, malignant, incurable sore. Now, here we have God's judgment against Satan's kingdom. And Satan's kingdom has as a part of it the promise of total freedom to sin without consequences. Now we see Satan is continually offering that kind of thing to men, seeking continually to present this kind of offer. And a very real part of that is total sexual freedom without any of the unpleasant consequences. That's part of the reason behind abortion. Doing away with unwanted pregnancies. In other words, you can have total freedom without consequences because you can just get rid of the consequences. As a result, we have today in our nation 1,200,000 abortions a year. 1,200,000 babies killed, slaughtered a year. It's part of Satan's program. Sin without consequences. To nobody does it ever occur that if you want to avoid unwanted pregnancies, you simply limit freedom. That doesn't occur because that's not an option in Satan's kingdom. His kingdom is total freedom and then doing away with the consequences. And that's his promise. And this has been for many years. Back in the Old Testament, the Israelites fell into the trap of following the Canaanite custom, where unwanted pregnancies were dealt with in a different way. They placed the babies in the arms of the god Molech, the huge brass god with a fire inside, and as the newborn child was placed in the arms of Molech, he was burned to death, offered to the god. And so we have the same thing today. Satan continues to seek to build his kingdom, and one of his promises, one of his campaign promises, is total freedom without consequences. He gives you the freedom and he takes care of the consequences. But you know, God continues to send consequences. And down through the ages, there have been all kinds of consequences for immorality, syphilis, gonorrhea, now we have herpes, and now the big problem that people are being faced with is how do you tell, or how do you get that partner for the evening to tell whether or not they're infected? So God continues to make sure that there are consequences. And if men find a cure for the present sores, God will raise up more sores. And just as soon as Satan thinks that he has fulfilled his campaign promise of providing total freedom without consequences, God will pour out upon the men who have the mark of the beast a grievous, offensive, foul-smelling, malignant, incurable sore to remind them that disobedience to God's commands will retain consequences. God here pours out his ultimate sore upon all those who worship the beast and who sacrifice themselves on his altar of lust. The second vial is poured out and the sea is turned to blood. The fishing industry is destroyed. All industry that has to do with the seas is destroyed. Commerce is affected. The tankers, shipping. We are told here that it is turned to blood as the blood of a dead man. Congealed blood. A while back we had word that that Lake Erie was in grave danger because there was amassing in the middle of Lake Erie a conglomeration of algae from the sewage that was being dumped into the lake that was so thick that ships couldn't even go through it. But not thick enough, of course, to walk on it or have automobiles go over it. And this is the situation we have here. God turns the seas into the thickness whereby all life is destroyed and commerce is hindered. And this is done, we're told here, to put a real dent in Satan's economy, the economy of his utopia. And that's the purpose also behind many other of these vials. And so here the life in all of the seas is destroyed. The third vial is poured out, and the rivers and the fountains of water become blood. But this is different. This is not the blood of a dead man, but rather this blood remains fluid, and it is given for them to drink. And this is their drink. I imagine at that time there would be very grave desires for just a drink of cold water. And God says that he's going to give them blood, and the angel cries out, "Thou art just, O Lord, that thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy because they have shed the blood of the saints and of the prophets." And so this was a reminder to them of the sin of shedding the blood of the saints of God. The fourth vial is poured out, and we find that the sun scorches men with fire, and adding to the sores that they already have, then are the blisters of the burns. I don't know how many of you have ever gotten yourself a real good sunburn, but you know how painful that can be. Have you ever gone up to a person, slapped him on the back, and had him fall down on his knees and say, "Don't touch me. What's the matter?" "Well, I was out in the sun a little bit too long." Someone with his eyes half open, you say, "What's the matter with you?" "I haven't slept for 3 nights because of this sunburn. I can't sleep." Here we have men who are burnt with the heat of the sun. And added to their own burnings would be the heat of the sun on the crops and the further ruin of the economy of Satan's promised prosperity. A while back, someone mentioned to me as we were having all that nice warm weather how easy it would be for us to have a famine. All we would need is a little more warm weather for the trees to bud and then the cold weather to come and we would have no harvest. And we find here that the scorching of the, not only of men, but also of all of the crops would bring further ruin to the economy and famine to the world. The fifth vial is poured out. You notice that the fifth vial is poured out on the seat of the beast. This doesn't say it's poured out on the whole earth, but just on the seat of the beast, and that the darkness then comes upon his whole kingdom. And I asked myself, how can that be if it's poured out on the seat of the beast, and from there darkness comes in the whole kingdom, and yet men are being burnt with the force of the sun? And we know that these overlap, because in verse 11, not only their pains from the burns of the sun, but also their sores, which would be referring back to, it's the same word as in verse 2, the grievous sores that continue. And so it would seem that this darkness then on the seat of the beast would be the darkening of his intellect, the confusion and darkness that comes to him who has been proclaimed as the ultimate wisdom, the one who has all the answers, the man who has brought prosperity to the world, the man who has allowed us to sin and get away with it, the man who has brought peace in spite of the fact that we are still ungodly. And all of a sudden darkness comes over the seat of the beast, and he becomes a very foolish man. He no longer has the answers. The one who boasted the great wisdom now cannot produce the answers. But in spite of their pain, men refuse to repent. They don't want to leave their evil conduct, but they want that prosperity back that he had promised them and was no longer fulfilling. And so that's why we see that the sixth seal, or the sixth vial, is poured out. And this is poured out upon the great river Euphrates. And the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now the Euphrates is in the Fertile Crescent. In the east there, the four rivers of the Garden of Eden, one of those was the Euphrates River. And here we have the drying up then of the center of the beast's prosperity, and as a result he has no way to hold his kingdom together. Satan says, all of these things will I give you if you will follow me. And the Antichrist makes promises that I will bring you peace and prosperity if you will follow me, if you will accept my leadership. And they accept his leadership, marveling at his prosperity, joining together in the peace that he brings. But the thing is, when he no longer brings the prosperity, when he can't keep his promise of fullness of bread with freedom to sin, then the peace ends because his leadership is rejected. Now, men only follow Satan for what they can get out of him. Now, that's what Satan accused Job of. Satan said to God, the only reason Job serves you is for what he's getting out of you. And God says, that's not true. And I'll prove that because I'll let you take away from him all that he has, and he will still serve me. And Satan found this was true, and he took away everything Job had. And Job said, naked I came out of the womb, and naked I'll go back into the earth. And the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And Job continued to serve God regardless of the lack of prosperity. But that's not so with Satan. The only reason men serve Satan is for what he promises them. And so when he can no longer fulfill his promise, then they turn against him. They worship this marvelous mastermind because of the prosperity that he brings and the freedom to sin and his ability to avoid the consequences. But when this no longer is true, then his leadership is gone. But you see, Satan isn't one just to step down. He's not one to say, well, I guess I really can't help you anymore, so somebody else better take over. He's not of a mind to step down. Because Satan's philosophy is, if he can't run it, he'll destroy it. And so he sends out his evil spirits to deceive the kings of the earth that are preparing to rebel against him. And with these evil spirits, he draws them into a great battle where they will all be destroyed. Because he'd rather destroy everything than not run it himself. And then we find the seventh vial is poured out over the air, and the greatest earthquake that the earth has ever experienced comes. Hail comes down from heaven, a talent. That means that these hailstones weigh about 100 pounds apiece. That's a pretty good size hailstone. We had little tiny ones that ruined the top of our car. Do you imagine what hailstones, 100 pounds apiece? But men, instead of repenting, blaspheme God in spite of the clear evidence of his power and of his glory as he spoils the kingdom of Satan. And so as we look at this chapter, we want to be reminded that Satan will offer you the world with a fence around it. But it's only a very temporary possession, because God will spoil Satan's kingdom. And God will judge those who think that they can enjoy wickedness and suffer no consequences. One man put up a huge billboard, and in large letters across that billboard, it said, "Sin pays." Men read that and they thought, great, that's what we like to see. Then in small letters it says, "But its wages is death." But you know, that's not even all the verse. The rest of the verse says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Sin pays. And those who think, those who believe the lie of Satan, that they can have prosperity without God and they can have sin without God, are going to find out that God will spoil Satan's kingdom. And those who think, those who believe Satan and think that they can have sin and prosperity, are going to find out that the wages of sin is death. But praise God, the gift of God is still eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? Is he your life? Is he your deliverance from sin, from the wages of sin? Father, we thank you tonight that although there are grievous times ahead of us, and we see down through history how in part this has happened, and there have been 1/4 destructions, and possibly in places 1/3 destructions. But there is a coming destruction that we are promised, and that is a destruction by fire, as God pours out his wrath upon all those who choose the path of wickedness. We thank you, Father, that although the wages of sin is death, we thank you that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And through his death on the cross, by faith in him, we know forgiveness of sin. We know freedom from the power of sin. And one day we will know freedom from the presence of sin, and how we look forward to that day. And praise you for that anticipation. In Jesus' name, amen.